podcast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
It all started when a time travel experiment I was conducting went a little caca. In the blink of a cosmic clock, I went from quantum physicist to Air Force test pilot, which could have been fun if I knew how to fly. Fortunately, I had help. An observer from the project named Al. Unfortunately, Al's a hologram, so all he can lend is moral support. Anyway, here I am, bouncing around in time, putting things right that once went wrong, a sort of time-traveling Lone Ranger with Al as my Tonto. And I don't even need a mask. Oh, boy.
Hi, this is Joe from the UK, and you're listening to the Tamcast podcast.
Tim,
Andy,
Noah,
Tamcast.
In 2001, three friends moved into a house together. Because their names were Tim, Andy, and Noah, they called the place the Tam House. By 2007, these friends had gone their separate ways. Andy to Atlanta, Noah to San Francisco, and Tim to Los Angeles. Now they get together on the internet every week and discuss movies, TV, tech, politics, food, Disney, comics, Star Trek, Apple, or sometimes just stories of the good old days. These conversations are raw, explicit, and contain adult themes and content. This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners. When you hear this sound, that means there's a link to what the boys are talking about in the show notes. If none of this scares you off, then you're prepared to listen to the Tamcast.
Welcome to Tamcast.
Yeah.
You gotta add a yeah on there.
We're on the other side of straddling our anniversary.
Yeah, like your mom straddled our anniversary.
That what?
Just like,
how would you
like
do that?
I'm Tim, the T in Tamcast.
I'm Andy, the ass everywhere in Tamcast.
I was expecting that, and that was hilarious. I don't know. I can't follow that. I'm no one that is Tamcast.
Thank you.
I think Noah enjoyed that.
That was a good one, Eddie.
Thanks.
Mark it on your calendar,
well played,
everyone.
Sir.
Andy was funny. The date was Sunday, June 5th, 2011. Next scheduled funny, December 2012.
Whew, that's a long wait.
Yep.
Are you going to make some joke about the supposed end of the world?
Yeah.
That's my last joke.
I'll just pop out and be like, surprise, motherfuckers! And then it ends.
That's like, is it Daffy Duck joke? Where he, like, does some crazy stunt, but he's like, I can only do it once.
Oh, where he, like, swallows nitroglycerin in a match or something?
Yeah. Best joke ever seen,
oh,
but
Looney
I can only
Tunes.
Do it once.
That's so fucking dark, too.
Well, Looney Tunes were fairly dark.
Yeah.
But we thought they were fucking hilarious!
Oh, man. We were watching the latest Mythbusters last night, and there's one part where Adam is talking about like the distances that they're going to be setting up these sniper shots. And he refers to one of them specifically as the distance of your average restraining order. And I'm like, that is fucked up if you think too hard about it. The thing they were testing was whether you could see a muzzle flash from a sniper rifle.
Oh, I saw the end of that.
With enough time to dodge out of the way.
And what was the consensus?
Nope.
That unless the sniper rifle was firing a Hollywood-style blank that was meant to create a huge, huge burst, a big flash, that by the time the rifle is far enough away that it would give you enough reaction time and enough movement time, which is about half a second, to get out of the way before the bullet got there, like it would be too far away to see. Like even the most eagle-eyed person wouldn't see the flash at that distance.
So you're fucked. Good to know.
Now, I'd kind of wish that they had, tried to use binoculars or something like that.
Well, how are you going to be trained your binoculars on the sniper the moment he's trying to shoot you?
Well, they were kind of already assuming that you're looking directly at the sniper and you're expecting a bullet, that you are tensed and ready to dodge.
Well, then he's already the worst sniper ever.
Well,
you might as well
no, just close
hey, I'm going to shoot you over here.
No, because he's already going to kill you.
You might as well just close the distance at that point.
Exactly.
Oh, that reminds me. I saw X-Men, and there was something I wanted to comment on that.
Alrighty.
I can do it now if you want, or I can wait.
Let's do it. My wife and I are going to go see Thor in about 2 hours.
So, and this happens a lot in movies where, like, there's a bad guy and a good guy, and the bad guy does something, well, not the good guy, you know, a good character, does something that is going to kill them, but the person, instead of, like, fighting or anything, they just stand there and let it happen. That's so fucking irritating to me. It's not like they had to. It's like, hey, you could move, you could, you know, not just let this person do this to you. But no, they just stand there and let it happen. And, I mean, it will make more sense
Like, no other consequences. It's not like, well, if I know if I put up a struggle, you're just going to kill my whole family, too, or something like that. It's just...
No, there's no, like, gun to... I mean, it might start a fight, but it wouldn't have a direct consequence. Like, if I move right now, you know, that person over there is going to die.
Huh. Hmm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't think of another movie where it's happened, but I've seen it before, where it's like, why the fuck are you just standing there? Fucking move out of the way! Fight!
Yeah, so it's sort of like the opposite of, the end of The Professional, or Leon the Professional.
Oh, yeah, I mean, in that case, you know, there was nothing. He could have tried, but it would have been, you know, for naught. In this case, it was not... like, that was like a big explosion that was going to kill a person anyways. If you haven't seen The Professional, I just kind of spoiled it for you.
Yeah, but if you haven't seen The Professional, I mean, you've only had like 2 decades, so.
I haven't seen The Professional.
I mean, Natalie Portman went from being a little girl to, entirely legal. That's what I'm saying.
So true.
By the way, I love that neither of you guys would I just toss in, my wife and I are going to go see Thor in about 2 hours. Had nothing to say about the fact that was a total non sequitur from me. Like, hey, I'm just going to toss in some data.
Well, I was talking about a movie.
Noah just saw a superhero movie. You're going to go see a superhero movie. Seemed like it fit right in.
Yeah, but I had nothing to go with it. Like, I'm going to see Thor. I haven't seen it yet. I have nothing to see about it other than that I'm going to see it.
It was a non-non.
No, you have a long way to go before you're making Noah-style non-sequiturs.
Okay.
It's not like you're like, I like pudding.
Maybe I was just being a little too hard on myself, but it felt like, as the words came out of my mouth, I'm like, well, I have nothing to follow this up with. I'll just sit quietly and let Noah tell a story.
It wasn't like you're like, I'm a turtle.
It's like, yeah, I'm like, but I'm totally I'm not adding anything to the conversation. It's like, I would like to tell you about a movie I saw. I'd like to tell you I'm about to see a movie. I guess I'm just super excited that I'm actually getting out.
Have any of the three of us ever added to the conversation in the history of Tancast?
Yeah, that is true.
I would say X-Men is a better movie than Thor.
Oh, so you've seen Thor.
Yes.
You've seen Thor.
I've seen Thor. And I was Thor. I was Thor after I saw Thor.
Well, you know, he was swinging that big hammer.
And, here's another thing. It's not really a spoiler per se. You know, Magneto's an X-Men, so at some point you get to see him in his kind of Magneto gear. You know, that
it's like all over the fucking trailers.
Oh, is it? That you
it's
actually
like,
see him
here's
in
his Magneto and his helmet and his helmet.
Oh, it's more than that. Like later on in the movie.
Oh, okay.
But so, you know, Magneto has a cape. He shows up in a cape. I'm like, at what point, if you're deciding to be like, you know, some guy, that you decide, you know what? You know what's a good look? A cape.
Instantly?
Like, it's like, people don't normally go around wearing capes. When do you decide, no, you know?
I was like, Noah, you realize Tim's on this call, right?
Well, it's just funny, because, like, I can't imagine, like, you know, he goes off, does this thing, and he's, like, thinking of, like, what outfit shall I pick?
Think of Tim's favorite costumes to wear. At least half of them have capes.
Yes, but it's just, the process is funny to me. Like, if you know, I know you don't normally think about the process, but just think about, like, you know, Magneto goes off. He goes, like, now, this helmet's a little drab. I want to spice it up a little bit. I'm freaking out.
What's going on, man?
That makes sense to know.
Are you grinding your baby? Save some. I'm about out of fresh.
Is that the titty pump?
I can't really hear you.
I said, is that the titty pump?
No.
Is that the titty phone?
Pump.
It's a coffee maker.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no, it's a bean grinder.
Damn it.
What? How the hell do you think titty pumps work?
Oh, titty pump. I thought you said titty phone.
Yeah, I know you did, because you said titty phone, and then we both said pump.
No, pump.
I couldn't fucking hear you. There was a coffee grinder going. Jesus Christ.
Well, tell Jesus Christ to stop making coffee during Tancast.
Those of you who are not privy to this, I put on the IM, like, don't freak out, guys. Like, I didn't want them to mention it so that we didn't have to take this detour with a fucking coffee grinder, but then... Oh, God!
Come on, really? Really, did you think we weren't going to go there?
You know what? I was living in hope and dying in despair.
Yeah, watch this.
Oh, good. Dead air. That's always good.
There you go.
Your mom's a lovely lady, Andy.
I did not see that coming.
I did not either.
So just back to, like, Magneto, like, you know, so the helmet's drab, so he decides to paint it in his purple and red. I'm like, but, like, it's like, it's just funny to me, like, you know, that he's sitting there, he's supposed to be this kind of, you know, I wouldn't say evil per se, but, you know, erring on the side of evil.
Yeah, where he's like, I will destroy all the humans and then we will rule the world. But this is a little, I don't know.
A little too drab, a little gray. Can we put some purple and red on there? And get me a cape, a wonderful flowing cape.
I've always liked Prince.
I want something dramatic.
And I need some pockets right in the front. I gotta carry shit.
I want to be able to show up places, bend railroad ties into the shape of giant flying saucers, throw them at my enemies, and go, Magneto, bitches!
But I want people to go, right. He was fashionable. He's fashion. fuck with the worms.
Fashion forward?
Sure, fashion forward. I don't think that's what I was trying to think of, but it works.
Noah versus English. English wins. Flawless victory.
That was at my expense, but it was funny.
So I was just they did last night on FX. They showed the first three X-Men, and they show like a 20 years ago at the beginning of X-Men 3, and it's, you know, Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen de-aged computer wise to make them look ultra creepy.
Yeah, I was gonna say that it's like the wax statue versions of both of them.
Exactly. So, but they're together and they're recruiting Jean Grey, and they look like Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, but I got the impression that by the end of this X-Men First Class, they're not going to be friends anymore.
Yeah, and I think that follows the storyline of the comic book.
But I thought it was a prequel to the movie.
I get the feeling it's not a strict prequel. It's sort of like the comics where they will occasionally restart things.
Wait, but
so this is a reboot.
Wait, but how is it different than the movie? Because they weren't friends at the. In the later movies, either.
But they were.
No, but they were friends looking like Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. It's a retcon.
Those motherfuckers. Because I assume we don't see them recruit Jean Grey in the new movie.
No.
Just as I thought.
Although, I don't know the comic book history that much, so I think there have been times where they've kind of teamed up again. Probably not in that respect, though. So I would say, yeah, it is different. You know, they did change things. But I think there have been times when they have teamed up before. They kind of go back and forth.
I mean, do they start the... I mean, I don't know if this is necessarily a spoiler, because, I mean, we know shit is happening. Do they start the school by the end of the movie?
Yes.
I'll just see it someday.
Yep. Speaking of seeing it someday, I watched Cop Out last night.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to see Thor.
Nope.
Oh, that movie was fucking horrible.
Cop Out?
Yes.
No, Thor. Good luck to you.
All right. I didn't think it was horrible. I mean, obviously it wasn't a great movie, but for something seen on HBO for free, it wasn't that bad.
Really?
I kind of saw the whole thing as like an homage to like late 80s, early 90s cop buddy drama.
But it wasn't even that good, though. Like if you compare it to an 80s, you know, cop buddy movie, you know, drama, it was not good. I mean, well, all right, to be fair, I don't go back and watch a lot of 80s, so maybe I'm just romanticizing it. Like, maybe I remember them better than they actually were.
Yeah, but like it even had the soundtrack for some of those. I can see where it was maybe like the pacing was a little off.
Well, like the whole scene where Tracy Morgan character goes in to interrogate that guy, and he just does those fucking impressions for no fucking reason.
Mm.
Yeah, that was maybe a little overdoing it.
There just seems to be no reason to be doing these.
Yeah, and like the dude that he's interrogating has never seen any of those movies to recognize him.
I don't remember that. I just thought, I was like, oh, what the fuck is he doing?
Like, he doesn't he reacts like Tracy Morgan's this crazy, unbalanced guy that's going to kill him. Not like, that was Scarface.
Yeah, now these are famous movies that a lot of people have seen.
Yeah, which obviously they picked famous fucking quotes so that we would all recognize them. Although apparently one of the quotes was not famous enough for Bruce Willis's character to recognize.
Huh?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Oh.
That got a little snort laugh out of me. Not a big laugh. I just went... All right.
So yeah, I don't know. It just seemed bad, and like the plot just did not seem good, and I don't know. I just didn't enjoy it.
It had its funny moments.
I would say it's his weakest movie he's made so far.
Apparently, it's his
That's
worst reviewed
quite a bit.
Movie.
Boom!
Oh, damn.
Sorry, what were you saying, Andy?
I was gonna say apparently it's his worst reviewed movie, also his highest grossing.
Interesting. Hangover 2 didn't get great reviews. Fucking raked in the money.
Yes.
And I heard people say it's exactly like the first movie.
Like a shot-for-shot remake, almost?
Someone said that, but I'm sure they were exaggerating to a point. But they basically just said, the whole thing is like the same. Like, oh, we lost somebody. We got to go find him. We're going to have wacky adventures. I mean, I'm adding stuff to what they didn't say, but I'm assuming that's what they meant.
The trailer is almost shot-for-shot from the first trailer.
Oh, is it?
Interesting.
Yeah, Crack did a review of it. Let me see if I can find the linkity link.
Alrighty.
It's called I Don't Know If Movies Are Being Serious Anymore.
Excellent. Oh, wow. Well, Noah, X-Men is better reviewed than Thor, so that holds up your observation.
Yeah, I felt it had a deeper storyline than Thor.
Yeah, my wife said she didn't want to see X-Men opening weekend because she didn't want to be in a super busy theater with a bunch of fucking teenagers making noise and
makes sense,
whipping out their cell phones and whatever. And you know how I feel about that.
You love it.
I will go to war.
Tim found that very funny.
You love it. It was just so understated and quick while Andy was still talking. You know how I feel about that. You love it.
There was one scene that was very enjoyable in the X-Men. Looking back, I will not spoil it, but it was I was like, oh, that's cute.
No, was there ass everywhere?
No.
Ass everywhere, ass everywhere. What? Ass everywhere.
There was some ass though. Xavier keeps saying groovy because the time frame it's in, and fucking every time he says, all I can think is fucking Austin Powers. Groovy, let's shag, baby. I was like, oh, really? I know people said it, but Austin Powers has forever burned, that he's the one that says that word into my mind.
Ah.
And for me, it's still Bruce Campbell in the Evil Dead Army of Darkness movies.
Oh, does he say groovy?
Groovy. What he saws off a shotgun.
That is funny.
So, do Patrick Stewart or Ian McKellen make any appearance in the movie?
No.
There's no flash forward or flashback?
They do, and I'm pretty sure they do take the scene from the first X movie where Magneto's being dragged away from his parents, and he reaches out. But
oh, right.
Yeah, but there's a flashback, but there's no Ian McKellen or Patrick Stewart.
Well, fuck that. Oh, also, people are saying it's like the Dark. It's like better than the Dark Knight. What would you say?
Dark Knight was the first one or the second one?
What?
Batman Begins is the first one. Okay. The Dark Knight is the second one.
Do you remember what Dark Knight was?
I couldn't remember which one name was which. Bah.
Really?
It took me a second.
It's like the second biggest movie of all time.
And if it wasn't for fucking teenage girls, it would be one of the big... it would be number one.
Well, Avatar.
Teenage girls.
Teenage girls really came out in force for Avatar?
I think so.
I think not.
I would say Dark Knight is a little bit better, just because there are some scenes in the movie that are a little, corny. You're like, oh, really? Meh. Like, some parts where you're like, oh, this is a little cheesy. But I would say it's pretty close.
So it's pretty good?
Yeah.
All right.
So a lot of little subtle things. I mean, they set up a lot of stuff as far as the X-Men history. And just they kind of recall a lot of little things. Like, there's little threads that kind of carry throughout the movie. And, they touch upon it later. Like, oh, yeah. It's very good. I was pleased.
I got to say, I don't know if they do it in the movie, but I would say ever since I've had any sort of critical thinking skills at all. So let's say after I was a teenager. The fact that Magneto in the comic books referred to his group as the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants always bugged me. Like, no, in his mind, in his story of himself, he's the good guy. Why would he be calling his group evil anything? They should be calling themselves, the Society for Mutant Justice or, the Mutant Protection Group or something. No? Just me?
Mutantual of Omaha?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, in the story, in that world, what you're saying makes sense. In the, we want to, sell this comic book, and we want a cool-sounding name, I think that's why they're named, I don't think it has anything to do with, they were thinking about logic, they're just like, we want a cool name that people will be interested in reading this comic book, and that's what they picked.
I think it's that when they were originally naming it, there was a real, black hat, white hat kind of thing going on in comic books. No subtlety, no, sort of deconstructing the bad guy. It was all just very much, you're good or you're bad. No anti-heroes, no tragic bad guys.
Oh, so you think when X-Men first started that Magneto didn't have that kind of struggle that he has, like, nowadays with comics, where...
Yeah, that he was more like mutant Hitler.
Okay, that he was just more like we're evil, the master race, and it was the more gray involved.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, that makes sense. I'm sure, you know, when they first started, they're just like, oh, evil and good, that's good. And, you know, as later on, like, people need more than just evil and good. They need more, like, gray and, you know...
Yeah, because still, even Hitler didn't think of himself as evil.
Exactly.
It's not like he's like, oh, I'm going to be evil. I'm going to name my group the Evil Nazis.
Yeah, and like the guy that's going on trial in The Hague for killing like 8,000 unarmed, was it Muslims? Yeah, I think so. Mladic, that's his name. Like even that, I'm sure he felt like he was justified. Like he was standing up for his ethnic group against people that he saw as a long-term threat or whatever. I mean, you know, he's an evil fuck, but I'm sure inside his own head he wasn't like, twist invisible mustache.
Well, that's what they tell you when you're an actor playing a part that, you know, that's like the quote-unquote bad guy. It's like, you are not evil. Like, you're, no one sits around being like, I'm going to be evil. I mean, I'm sure some people do, but, you know, like, your character thinks he's doing something or she is doing something for, like, a good reason. So you can't play this like, I'm here to fuck things up. Like, you have to play it like, I want to do this.
On some, not that you would name something evil, but on some level, I think some bad guys do know that they're doing something evil, because then they try to hide, not all, but they try to hide what they're doing, you know what I mean? They try to manipulate the system.
Well, okay, they don't think it's evil, they know it's against whatever rules.
Like,
they've been able
to justify it to themselves, so... The fact
I guess
that
justified
they're protecting...
is, I guess, more, yeah, what I'm yeah. going
so
for.
They know they're going against, you know, the norms of society, but they think it's for the overall good.
Or maybe not for the overall good, they just put their own good above everybody else's. So it's like, you know, yeah, I know this is going to, you know, piss a bunch of people off when I break into this bank, but I would really like that money.
And I'm entitled to that money because of this, this, and this.
Or, I would really like that money, and it just doesn't go beyond that. You know, there's a certain level of selfishness where you don't really need to go, then I will do this with this money, and that'll make up for it. There is no balance anymore. It's, what do I want? Does it serve that? Good. Good enough. You know, as long as we're on superheroes, like 2 months ago I said something about, I wanted to talk to you guys about something about superheroes. I think I'll toss it in here.
Okay.
So over the course of, like, you know, comic books and movies and TV shows about superheroes and all the rest, I guess it's kind of changed over the course of... like, the art form, but also my perception of how these characters work has changed in terms of who's the real person and who's the alter ego for all these different characters. So, like, Superman and Clark Kent, or Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Like, who are they really, and who are they pretending to be?
Exactly. Who's real, who's the mask, or are these all people with multiple personalities? Or are they all just, like, is there another person that you're not seeing... And they're just putting out, like, you know, kind of like we all do, where you act one way around certain people and act another way in other situations. But underneath it all, it's still, you know, it's still your personality. There's still your ideas and whatever. Maybe you just, you know, if you're in polite company, bite your lip and don't say, you know, well, you know, fuck that bastard that just cut me off in traffic because your grandparents are in the car or whatever.
I would say that's more than likely the case.
I mean, it seems like... probably the superhero persona would be the real them, and they have this other persona to kind of disguise of what... Like, for example, for Superman, you know, I imagine...
See, I would think it's the opposite for Superman.
Really? Because I would think Superman...
Because he grew up being Clark Kent.
Yeah, but then he had this, you know, almost like ascension to godhood when he came into his powers.
Exactly. Like, when he acts confident as Superman, I think that's the real him, as opposed to when he acts like a little more... meek as Clark Kent, because he knows he's not meek. He knows what he can do.
Yeah, like, it's almost like he used to be Clark Kent, and then he became, you know, the ultimate being, almost. So, like, he can still pretend to be like he used to be, because he remembers it.
I don't know if it's as much pretending as just a comfortable persona that he's had his whole life. He's like, okay, this is the real me, and then occasionally I go out and do super shit.
I can see your point.
I don't know, though, but, like, if you know you can do that super shit, like... would you really be meek and, like, you know... You know what I mean? Like, you know you could fucking crush somebody, but...
Well, now here's a question. Does he act like Clark Kent so that he can kind of keep his, you know, finger on the pulse of humanity and hear about bad things because he's a reporter and all the rest of those things, because it kind of gives him an excuse to mingle? Or is he Clark Kent because he seeks that connection to humanity, that he wants to be human, so he's human? Like, he acts human because that's what he, you know, in his heart of heart wants to be, you know, 22 Wait. Hours out of the day.
Here's my analogy. You ever know a fat girl who loses a lot of weight and now she's attractive, but she doesn't act like an attractive bitch? That's Superman.
But that's a little bit different, though, because it's not like...
It's exactly the same.
No, it's not like the hot girl goes out going like...
I like how no, it's like, no, Tim, no.
You are wrong, and here is why.
He got almost offended.
Fuck you and your bullshit. Because I don't know. I mean, does the skinny girl now, the new skinny girl, does she go out in like hot clothes and go, yeah, I'm hot, fuck me? And then, you know, other times go, oh no, I'm not that beautiful. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm sure the situation. Like, well, granted, I've been watching a lot of Say Yes to the Dress recently. So,
of course you have, you little homo.
You know what? It's way better than What Not to Wear.
Well, I thought you was going on you.
Well, yeah. I hate you.
My wife has been watching a lot of that recently, too. You
Which
know
one?
How I handle that? Every time I walk in the bedroom, she's got it on. I go, no.
You shoot
no,
the television, and it gets no. rather expensive after a while. So back to Andy was saying, I think it's probably a combination, like, of, you know, I think he probably wants to feel normal. Because if you could just... He could be Superman all the time if he wanted to. But no one's ever going to treat him normal if he's like Superman. So I think he does hold on to some of that normalcy. Like, you know, I just want to be treated like a regular person, you know. And I do want to have my connection to humanity. You know, it probably helps. Because if he's with Superman all the time, people just treat him as a god. And I think he would lose that connection that he has to humans.
And that might be a little dangerous. Like, if he starts to think of himself as a god.
Right. So maybe Tim Wright is in some sense, like maybe he does kind of straddle the line that, you know, he knows he has all this stuff, but he still feels like he is kind of human in a sense and has a connection to them.
And he was raised with a value system where you shouldn't think, you shouldn't put yourself above others. So regardless of his power, his value system is such as, you know, like, all right, I have this, but I'm not, that doesn't make me better or needing to impose my awesomeness on everyone else.
All right. Well, what about Batman and Bruce Wayne?
Batman is totally the real person.
Is that what you think, Tim?
That is what I think. And I think it's probably been stated more than once in comics or cartoons or maybe even movies.
Now, do you think...
Well, actually, I think that's gone back and forth. I think different writers have treated it differently.
Back and forth. Because she's a whore!
Brought it back around 20 minutes later.
So, do you think he was Bruce Wayne at one time? Well, I guess, really, I mean, it happened so early... That he's always, you know, that kind of thing had switched.
I think...
Yeah, I think he sort of made the switch more gradually.
Okay.
Like, I mean, yeah, that traumatic event happened, and then that sort of led him on the path to becoming Batman. But because, like, every time I see Bruce Wayne, he's sort of like the happy-go-lucky playboy type person. And that's certainly not who Bruce Wayne... Bruce Wayne is.
What? You can't see Batman be like, yo, bitches, come.
Bitches come, huh?
Yeah, that's what I got. Don't judge.
That's what I got. Loving. That's what I got.
Okay, so here's a problem that I have with comic book movies, in some sense. Green Lantern. Why do they have to make the Green Lantern look all space-agey and high-tech? Why can't it just be a lantern, like, in the comic books? Like, does that not sell toys? Like... And why can't his costume be more like it was in the comic book?
Because if you see a person actually dressed up like that in
it
like
have to be
a
exact...
single solid color with a like, just bright, vivid Kelly green all over and a big white thing in the middle with sort of a lantern-y looking symbol right in the middle of it, you would laugh at him.
But they were able to do it like, well, not in, like in the most recent X-Men movie, they had these jumpsuits that are kind of like their costumes, but it doesn't look like retarded. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe I only have this issue when they change it to something that I don't like, as opposed to they change it and it's something that I'm like, oh, that doesn't look too bad. But it seems I generally more like it when they kind of stick closer to what's in the comic book than kind of, like, go off on their own thing.
See, the stuff I've seen in the trailers, I actually thought the Green Lantern costume was a good... I thought it was a good in-between, between, like, what they did in the X-Men, where they put them all in those leather jumpsuits that were all the same.
Uh-huh.
And, like... the Superman costume or the Spider-Man costume that are, you know, really pretty vivid, bright, whatever.
I really like the Spider-Man costume, though. And it sticks pretty close to what's in the comic book.
Yeah, but it also fit because the movies were just a touch hyper-real. Like, he filmed the movies with, like, slightly oversaturated colors and, you know, just a little over the top on a lot of different things.
But Spider-Man's colors aren't that bright in the movie. They're certainly not Superman bright.
Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't say maroon, but you're right. It is kind of a deeper red.
When they did Superman Returns, his colors were more muted as well.
Oh, yeah, compared to the Christopher Reeve ones?
Yeah.
Yep, they did tone him down a little.
And maybe it's my only issue.
Also, apparently they toned him down in the crotchial region, is what I heard.
Oh, yeah.
Brandon Routh is slinging sausage.
Apparently.
He's going to give Liam Neeson run for his money.
I almost want to visit that Tumblr, but I feel like it'll spoil my enjoyment of that part of the show.
Oh, there are some good ones.
For Andy and other people who don't know, Hollywood Babylon does this thing at the end called How Big is Liam Neeson's Dick? And it's basically that chapter from Drew Carey's Dirty Jokes and Beer where it was just big dick jokes. So they're just Liam Neeson big dick jokes.
Liam Neeson's cock is so big that if you wrapped your arms around the shaft and slid down it, you'd reach the base in a Robin costume.
Yeah, man, if you Google Liam Neeson's dick, it just a ton of pages talking about it.
Fuck, can you imagine if some girl managed to snap a shot of that, like, flip with them and managed to get, like, a little like clip of that, how much fucking money that would go for, like, at TMZ or something? I bet Kevin Smith would probably throw down some money for it, because he is fucking fascinated with it.
He is. Hey! Cracked's Photoshop contest came out today, and I made number 18 and 17 on the list.
Huzzah!
Fuck, 18,
17,
and
16!
Huzzah!
Alright, so here's a link for you. I think you could tweak this to make into a real costume, and I think it would look alright. Better than what they used, but maybe that's just me.
Maybe. I love how, like, you know, in the classic comic books, the Green Lantern, like, it looks like a miner's lantern.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why did they have to change that? I liked it.
Because that is something that's kind of retro funny in a comic book where you can sort of go, I'm being so ironic and enjoying that. But, like, actually on a movie screen with real people moving around it, you'd be like, stupid.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it does look pretty cheesy.
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Or the one they use in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to hold that, like, in the real world, that would look way cheesier than it does.
Well, they can make it smaller and not so ginormous.
Yeah, it'd be like, hey, John Henry, you gonna go try to beat that steam engine drilling your way through the mountain?
I don't know. I guess for me, it kind of takes me out of the movie when I don't like the costume. I feel like they change stuff.
Well, I also just be like, for people who don't, because, you know, this is made for also a mainstream audience, not just the comic book fans.
Right, but and if you, like, leave that stuff in, would the mainstream audience really care?
Well, yeah, that's my point. Is like, for those who don't know, they're like, wait, they have a random old-timey lantern in space for some reason, yet this is the first time they've visited Earth where we've made these lanterns?
I don't know if they would think about it that hard. Like,
well, you wouldn't think about it. You wouldn't necessarily go to those logical steps in your head, but you'd be like, what? That looks fucking lame.
Well, yeah, it would be like if their space-age communicators were those old-style phones where you got the little horn that you hold up to your ear, and you turn a crank and then tell the operator that you want to talk to somebody in Fitzhugh 357 or whatever.
But you think they'd be more accepting of something that doesn't even look like a lantern, that just looks like this space-agey thing?
It kind of looks lantern-y. It looks
somewhat.
Like a more...
I mean,
it looks like something where if you didn't know what to call it, you might say, that's a lantern, or it looks like a lantern.
Or you could just use a lantern.
Or you could blow me.
Something we already have.
You know what I like about Noah? He's all about give.
Yep.
He's like, I see your point, but here's why it's invalid.
You were wrong in all that you say and do. But to be fair, I will still go see the movie, most likely.
Yeah, of course.
Unless for some reason it gets, like, you know, a really, really shitty reviews.
Oh, I know I'm going to see the movie.
Are you really? Like,
Hottie McHotterson is in it, so I will be taking my wife.
Who? Oh. So you're not seeing it. I mean, I assume you're seeing it because you want to see it at some level, but there's more driving force of your wife wanting to see it.
Exactly. That's why I know I'm seeing it. I'm at least moderately interested.
Gotcha.
I may need to be a father for a second, so I will be right back.
Okay.
Olivia Wilde is fucking in every movie these days.
Yeah, she is.
Not that I'm really complaining that much, but it's just like, wow, she is all over the place.
It's like her and Natalie Portman are having a contest. They want to see who can be the Lady Jude Law. That's a joke that would have played better about 8 years ago when Jude Law was in every fucking movie.
Yeah, not so much anymore. But yeah, she's in Green Lantern, Cowboys and Aliens. She's in a lot of like sci-fi comic book stuff.
Tron.
Did I say Tron? I meant to say Tron if I didn't. I was thinking Tron.
Well, maybe you did. My boy was saying that he wanted to go nappies.
Yeah, Tron. Can't think of anything else off the top of my head that she's been in, but...
I just realized I am an adult man, and I just said my boy wants to go nappies.
Fuck! Sorry, I was looking up Olivia Wilde, and like the page elements were shifting, so I was trying to click in the search box, and I kept clicking a link because the page was shifted up. It's like...
Yeah, I hate that.
Knock that off! In Time. Is this like another sci-fi movie? Oh, she's in The Change-Up? That was the other movie I was in.
I don't know what The Change-Up is.
What'd I miss?
We're talking about how Olivia Wilde's in everything.
Yeah, like my pants.
Oh, she was in the Weird Al Yankovic story as Madonna?
Oh, well, it's not a whole movie. It's just like a little short on Funny or Die, I believe.
Crazy. Well, Olivia Wilde and everything. That's what we're discussing.
Is she in a superhero movie?
She's in comic book movies. She's in Cowboys and Aliens and...
That was a comic book?
Green Lantern.
Oh, she's in Green Lantern?
Quick, make Tim ask another question. See if he can get higher pitched.
What are you talking about?
She's not. She's in The Change-Up. Sorry. She's in Cowboys and Aliens, and she's in this other movie called The Change-Up. But The Change-Up played right after the Green Lantern trailer, so I got confused.
I see.
The Change-Up is with... Oh, Ryan Reynolds is another person, because he's in The Change-Up and Green Lantern. That's the connection.
Ah.
But,
That's a lot of hot in one movie. Not going to be a dry seat in the house.
Oh, disgusting.
My wife found that disgusting, and so did Noah. That amuses me.
No, you were 3 for 3.
Oh, I didn't hear Andy. All right. Well, Michael seems okay with it, though.
Okay.
Jason Bateman, Ryan Reynolds are friends. Jason Bateman's like the married guy with two kids, and he envies Ryan Reynolds, you know, free-swinging lifestyle of bachelordom, sleeping with lots of women, and they're pissing into a fountain saying, I envy you, I wish I had your life, and then they switch.
Ah.
Which...
Like a Freaky Friday kind of thing?
Yeah, the problem is...
But apparently like, through your penis.
You found a problem with the logic of that movie somehow, Noah?
In the preview, it doesn't look like they're acting like the other guy. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you just say like they switch, and that's all you know. Like, I don't know. To me, it's more real if they, like, kind of
wife calling
somehow,
the police. I think something's happened to my husband.
But more subtle. Like, you know, yeah, I can see he's acting like Ryan Reynolds, or he's acting like Jason Bateman. But neither really, one of them really have, like, I mean, I guess you can kind of talk like Ryan Reynolds. He has, like, a certain way of delivering his lines. Yep.
A cadence, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, it didn't seem like they were doing that in the trailer.
Alrighty. Fair enough.
But that's the only problem I have with it. I mean, you know. I'm sure a wacky thing is willing to do. They realize that, you know, my life is not so bad. I kind of like it. Or something like that.
Yeah, everyone learns.
Yeah, you
everyone
can almost
lives.
Bet yeah. on it.
I think I could fall asleep and write that movie.
But yes, Olivia Wilde is in that one.
Does she play a random hot girl or Jason Bateman's wife?
I don't know if she's going to have a bigger arcing story, but she plays someone who works with Jason Bateman.
Hmm.
So it seems like she may have a bigger role in the movie than just some random ass that pops up.
Is she going to show off her itty-bitty titties?
I don't know. She may.
I'm trying to remember what movie I was watching with my wife. And I went, oh, those are 13's boobs! Because I didn't know that her name was Olivia Wilde at that time.
I'm amazed that Kevin Smith has no idea who she is. Every time Ralph Garman brings her up on Hollywood Babylon, he's totally confused.
Who, Kevin Smith, about Olivia Wilde?
Yeah, never watches House, hasn't seen Tron.
Like, but she's fucking everywhere. Like, how do you not know who she is?
Exactly. Especially Kevin Smith. I thought his finger was on the pulse. Oh,
he
no.
He seems like he's watching movies before no. the, like, months before they even come out.
His finger's in the Twinkie, getting all the cream out.
All right, we've ensured this is yet another episode we will not be sending to Sir.
We love you, Kevin.
Kevin, don't worry. I'm fatter than Ben Affleck and Mallrats.
Apparently he's losing lots of weight, though, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know about lots.
Yeah, well, wait until he's Andy thin, then we'll talk about it.
Did I ever tell you about the time I worked with a guy who was on a liquid diet? I guess he really needed to lose weight. And he was on a liquid diet, and he lost enough weight as a person. Like, there was someone that worked there that weighed about as much weight as he lost, and that fucking blew my mind.
You should watch The Biggest Loser. He'll blow your mind every night.
Yep.
They just lost to Tim.
But it'll take 2 fucking hours to blow it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. They really dragged that fucking show out. Yep. And I thought it was just the editing, but even the live show they drag out. like the live finale. I was like, holy God.
There is so much fucking dead air where, I mean, it's like, who wants to be a millionaire? That show could have been half as long as it was. It's just like danger music, random shots of different people's faces. Like, fuck, I don't give a shit about reaction shots. Move forward. That's why I watched one season of that. And it was during the writer's strike, so I'm like, well, maybe they're just padding this out. And then I read the next season. They're like, nope, we're staying with the two-hour format. I'm like, all right, fuck it, out. That show would be totally enjoyable to watch, except it takes 2 hours every fucking time.
Wait, what show would it be enjoyable?
Biggest Loser.
No.
I just don't watch the reality shows. Yep. Real World was the only one that I ever indulged in.
Now, what would you consider like a competition show? Like, say, so You Think You Can Dance. Would you still consider that reality, or is that a separate subgenre for you?
I think that would be a separate subgenre.
All right.
I mean, because it has... I've never seen it, but I assume they have interviews, and, you know, there's probably some cattiness, and, you know... So I would say it's probably like, you know, reality competition. You know what I mean? Like there's that.
It really isn't. There's a lot of dancing. Sometimes people talk about like, you know.
Okay. Then it's just a competition.
Yep. They'll like talk about preparing for the dance, but there's no like, you know, this person versus that person. Cause most likely the next week they're going to be dancing with that person.
I would say like Survivor would probably straddle more the line of reality show / competition.
Okay.
Same with Hell's Kitchen, I would say.
But also, I mean, it seems like they're kind of morphing into one, because it seems like a lot of the reality shows do have some type of competition element these days.
True.
Yeah.
True.
That's like, you know, because they want to make them go do something, like, you know, because the Real World, you know, like, when you first watched the very first Real World, they just had a bunch of people just hang out in the house.
Yep.
And now like, they wow, actually have so to compelling. Go out and do stuff, and...
Yeah, like, start a business or, you know, yeah, make yeah, a pie, yeah. something.
But it's funny, though, because it was... The first Real Worlds were very compelling because they felt more real. Like, these are how these people really are. And as opposed to, like, you know, we're going to pick the craziest fucked up people and throw them all together.
Yep.
And watch them get drunk and, you know, fuck up shit. And
yeah, let's get a bunch of attention whores with borderline personalities and stick them all together.
Exactly.
Because we got a top last year. Last year was so crazy and so graphic and everyone was talking about it. Next year we'll put lions in with them.
That would be amusing.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when you're watching like actual people react to each other, it was much more compelling. When you're watching a bunch of you know, sex crazed idiots just you know, get drunk and fuck each other.
Well, not only that, but it seemed like they kind of confronted like real issues that, as opposed to like
real world issues.
Yep.
Oh, I see what you did there, and I point at my screen for no reason. You can't see that though.
I see what you did there, and by see I mean heard, and by you I mean. Person I'm not pointing at.
So yeah, it seemed like they contact real issues as opposed to like, oh, I got partying, got drunk, and slept with this guy, holding drama.
And for some reason, I sound like the guy from Family Guy. Hey, Chris.
Where's my muscly arm paperboy?
All right. Should we do our
Monday night fan fight?
Yes.
Dinks, jokes, pokes, and yomi cokes.
Cokes? Plural?
Yeah. You have never paid me a coke. Of all the time we've known each other.
Has he ever paid you your cocksaw? Now answer the question, has he?
No.
So you owe him a cocksaw.
I don't know what store to go at to buy a cocksaw.
Oh, you don't need to go to the store. I want the DIY cocksaw.
Fresh homemade.
Oh, dear.
Okay. So, Monday Night Tan Fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself for Monday Night Tan Fight!
Shall we kick it into high gear?
Shall we?
I know why that's funny, but the listeners don't.
So, we are set in the intersection in between the worlds of Quantum Leap and Walker, Texas Ranger. And, Dr. Sam Beckett has leapt into Walker, Texas Ranger's sidekick, and he is there to stop Walker, Texas Ranger from politically backing a, let's say an idiot governor who would ascend to presidency with a, you know, a local hero's backing and ruin the rest of the world.
I just like how much thought you put into this setup.
So even though Walker Texas Ranger is usually a force for good with his roundhouse kicks, Dr. Sam Beckett is there in the place of his black sidekick to roundhouse kick his face into oblivion and stop the downfall of Western civilization. So this is an epic fight. It has world-spanning consequences.
Now, I didn't watch a lot of Quantum Leap, but he didn't really gain the abilities of the person he jumped into, did he?
No, but he did know the karate, which, by what they showed in the show, meant he could roundhouse kick people who fucked with him.
Did he really know karate, or are you just assuming that because he roundhouse?
No, they talked about it. Oh, like, okay, that, okay. And like judo and a bunch, like they like listed all these things, but like his go-to move was roundhouse kick to the face.
That is funny, because I always thought he didn't know how to fight.
No, actually, there was one episode with like a bunch of bikers. Bikers like trying to stab him or something like that. Biker comes rushing at him. He roundhouse kicks the guy to the face. The guy goes down. All the rest of the bikers run away.
And yeah, in fact, that exact scene is in the opening credits.
Yes, it is.
Oh. I should say, I watched a few episodes, but I was not a regular watcher.
How dare you, sir?
I know. I'm sorry.
It was the best show ever.
Was it really? You feel that, Tim?
No, but I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
So I guess I should give the...
Ow, Regin. Ow!
Oh, okay.
She'd like to jump up and claw my bare legs.
Yeah, we know. You've talked about it before.
That's
like
why I
my
say,
kid
ow.
Likes to jump up and kick his feet.
But I'm not like, ooh, look at her. She can jump up and claw my leg.
No, but every week you tell us that Regin likes to jump up and claw your legs. Ow! She likes to jump up and claw my legs.
That's right.
So I had to look this up on Wikipedia, but I guess we should give James Jimmy Trevette a real name. Although I refuse to say Walker Texas Ranger's first name.
James?
It's actually Cordell, apparently, but he is Walker Texas Ranger. That is his full name.
Wait, his name's Cordell James Trevette?
No. James Jimmy Trevette is the black sidekick.
Oh.
I figured I'd give his name.
Okay, but and Walker Texas Ranger's name is?
His first name is Walker.
Oh, okay. I was like, where the fuck did the Walker come in?
And his last name is Texas Ranger.
All right.
He's fucking with you.
I'm done with you.
His name is Cordell Walker.
Okay. Thank
there
you.
There we are.
Wow. Cordell? I have to say he just lost the fight.
Well, he is half Native American and half white, and also apparently a martial arts expert. And who believes
he's
part of the West.
Name alone, Tim?
Yeah, Cordell, you lost.
Noah, do you have anything more... more substantial to go
do
with
you have
than
any
that?
Better analysis than that? Can you dare to top my
fate of Western civilization?
I think Walker Texas Ranger would kick the other guy's ass.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, granted, I've probably watched more fighting in Walker Texas Ranger than I have Quantum Leap, so that's all I'm basing
fuck?
It on.
Are you telling me you've watched more Walker Texas Ranger than Quantum
no,
Leap?
No, there's more fighting in Walker Texas Ranger than there is Quantum Leap, so therefore I've seen more fighting.
Hmm.
Like, that's the premise of the show. Like, oh, shit, shit's going down. Time to kick some ass.
Sam Beckett often has to kick some ass.
Yep.
I haven't seen it.
He was in the trenches in Nam.
He was.
And,
he survived Nam. Well, he survived, like, a week in Nam.
Margaret Taylor Rainey comes off as more of a badass than, what's his name? Samuel Beckett?
Yeah.
Yep. Dr. Samuel Beckett, please.
What's the actor's name?
He didn't get his
Scott
PhD,
Bakula.
So you could call him Mr. Samuel Beckett.
Yeah. Scott Bakula, it just seems like a meek pussy.
Really?
To me, he always has.
Wait, let me send you a picture with his shirt off.
Yeah.
Why do you know about pictures with his shirt off?
All real men know what Scott Bakula looks like with his shirt off. All
right, Andy.
No, I disagree.
I'm sorry, was that a little too strident?
No, I couldn't hear you because I was trying to talk.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to Google him last night for the album art, and that was the first thing that came up.
A likely story.
Oh, which one should I use? That one's a little faded, but it shows a little bit more of his tighty-whities.
Winner.
And something for the ladies.
Besides trying to Google Liam Neeson's cock.
Let's check out your Scott Bakula. Okay,
look at
that. He's not fat, but he doesn't seem as fit as Walker. And he doesn't look badass.
That man is wearing a full bear rug on his chest. Where do you think he got that bear from? He killed it with his bulging penis. Look down.
Ow.
Did you just say ow?
Yeah.
All right.
It's Gretchen, but he doesn't want to talk to us about it because he knows we're going to give him shit.
Because now you've made him feel self-conscious.
I should have.
You're an asshole.
Well, my justification for my choosing the victor is... Who beat the devil? That's right, Sam Beckett. I think if you can choke the devil out in a Halloween episode.
Now look at this. Look at this badass motherfucker. Mullet and all. And look at that fucking beard.
The beard is mighty.
Badass?
But look at the jeans. Do you see a huge package in those jeans? I do not.
I don't know if I see a huge package in the other picture either.
Oh, you see the package.
Look more carefully. You can see little Sammy.
Okay, wait a minute.
Why am I studying pictures of Scott Bakula?
Because he is a chiseled god. Why aren't you, Noah? He is the epitome of man. You look at him and learn. Study him.
Wait,
learn his ways.
I think I just found the same picture, but he has jeans on. I think someone may have photoshopped those teddy whiteys on it.
So we're looking at someone else's penis.
So it's not even his package.
Now I feel cheated. Or maybe somebody photoshopped some jeans onto him so they could show it to their mother.
I think mother would not want no jeans.
Hope springs eternal.
Huh. This requires some study.
But wait, Chuck Norris has no hips. Like he's like a tube. You could just put
that
belt anywhere.
What the fuck do you need hips for to kick ass? He's not entering like an ass bouncing contest.
Yeah, he is. Walker, Texas Ranger, and the Badonkadonk of
Man,
Doom.
Man, that's what I should have done. I should have done Walker, Texas Ranger, and Sam Beckett in an ass everywhere contest.
Ass everywhere.
The other reason I'm picking a Sam Beckett is because that's the picture Kirk had on his wall.
All right.
That's it. That's a Star Trek Enterprise reference.
Is it?
Yeah. Scott Bakula played Captain Archer.
Yep.
And they said in the publicity for that show that was the guy that Kirk had on his wall as a kid.
Ah. I thought you meant like they actually went back and photoshopped it in or something like that.
Oh, well, they may.
Yeah, who knows?
Walker still strikes me as more of a badass and ass kicker.
Alrighty. Well, good news for Western civilization. Sam Beckett wins. Kind of gets his ass handed to him a little bit, but he still jumps out of there successful.
Thank goodness. Now I don't have to try and find the Walker, Texas Ranger theme music, which would mean I'd have to do any more searching for Walker, Texas Ranger.
That would take away from your time with scudding Scott Bakula's package and finding pictures of him in his underwear.
Noah, go. Look at it. Nothing. Join with us.
No. I'm done looking at Scott Bakula.
You're never done looking at Scott Bakula. you just take breaks.
Okay, no. So if I'd made this a booty clapping competition, who would have won?
Then I might give it to Scott Bakula.
A booty clapping competition?
Yep.
Yeah, don't you
How
know
about
what
a which show
is?
Would you rather watch competition? Well, apparently Noah would rather watch fucking Walker, Texas Ranger.
Make that booty clap.
Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah, that's definitely somebody else's package. Photoshopped on a Scott Bakula.
Now you've made me sad.
I'm sorry. He was wearing jeans.
Very sad.
Probably got micro penis.
Let's Google Scott Bakula's penis.
Let's do that. Well, you do penis,
are,
Noah, you do
you
dick,
guys are
I'll
way
do
too fascinated with Scott Bakula.
Noah, you have dick.
What?
I have cock. Tim's doing penis, you're doing dick, I'm doing cock.
I'm not doing any of it. It will be a reign of mystery.
Alt.gossip.celebrities. Here it is, folks. The updated list of male celebrities reported to have the biggest penises in Hollywood.
Is it listed like in order of size?
There doesn't seem to be an alphabetical order, so perhaps.
Horse Hung Hollywood, big penis list for 2004.
Who's at the top of your list, Tim?
What the? I would love to let you know, but Firefox is acting like a douche.
Fucking douchey
wow.
Firefox.
So it goes Tommy Lee, Christopher Walken, Scott Bakula, Huey Lewis. Milton Berle is at the top of the list.
You say Milton Berle?
Yeah.
Are you messing with me?
No.
Oh, have you not heard about this?
No.
Oh, yeah, he's famous for having a huge penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And my mom, cripes. My wife didn't know that
either. Think about his big fat cock.
And she might have. Willem Dafoe is also on the list. John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard. Hmm. Eddie Murphy. Kevin Spacey.
I'd believe it.
Matthew Lillard, I say nay.
He's skinny, though.
Makes it look bigger.
Billy Bob Thornton. Iggy Pop. I should just put this list here for our lady listeners.
Yep. It's a text list. There's no actual penises on it, so sorry.
Yeah.
So, ladies,
so at least
it's safe for work. If you can confirm or deny any of these people, please let us know.
Yes, if any of you are groupies who have hooked up with anybody, especially if we have some really old listeners who hooked up with Humphrey Bogart, who's also on the list.
Oh, 2004?
So Tim, wasn't Milton Berle the one that made the joke about you whip yours out to I can see how much I have to pull out to beat you?
Yes, he's like, I won't take it all out, just enough to beat you.
Vanilla Ice? You can see Vanilla Ice's package, I think, in Madonna's sex book. Does he show off his package? I can't remember.
Are you asking Gretchen? I don't think she knows.
No. James Wood.
James Caan is on the list.
Groucho Marx. Freddie Mercury. Huh.
Groucho Marx.
Yeah, Groucho Marx is on there. Huh. He's right above, like a few above Liam Neeson, like four above.
Oh, no. I was saying it because I read it. I didn't know you had said it also.
I just said it right before you.
Oh. Tobey Maguire.
You know what? Right. I want sources. Cite your sources.
Ladies, get out there. See these penises. Give us pics if possible.
Put something in the picture for reference. Like have a G.I. Joe character writing it like the guy in How I Learned to Stop.
No, use a dollar bill like they do in CSI when they have to improvise.
I wish I had the power of the guy from Pushing Up Daisies, and I can go bring back Liam Neeson's wife and ask her.
Pushing Daisies.
Really? That's what you do with that power?
Yep, that was it. And I'm like, I'm done with it. I give it up. I now know. I get that happy bad.
Well, I think Superman could still ask Rape Scott Bakula. I mean, yeah, not Scott Bakula, but, well, definitely Scott Bakula, but also Sam Beckett. Unless he was able to leap out right
in time. Who Sam Beckett leaps into.
That's the problem. Sam Beckett leaped into a woman.
What if he leaps into Superman?
Oh.
Then Superman would have to rape himself. See, I was thinking Doomsday, but no, that is way more compelling. Now, this is kind of like, you know, the sound of one hand clapping. Can Superman rape himself?
Didn't we ask this like a week or two ago?
Last week, because the winner of the first hand fight was Superman.
Okay. Did we come to a consensus?
Well, did he take Superman's place. He just looks like Superman. So Superman would be in the waiting room in the future. Okay, that's getting too complex.
So he would have to fly around the world backwards in order to catch up with himself in the past.
Yep.
Now, has anyone ever escaped the waiting room and seen themselves inhabited by Scott Bakula?
Well, yes. No, because they're in the past. They've escaped the waiting room, but they've not seen themselves because...
Right, so they were able to get back to the past.
Yeah, they escaped the waiting room. I think it was a murderer that he had leapt into. Escaped the waiting room and was like running around the city and saw Scott Bakula in the mirror. Saw Sam Beckett in the mirror. I'm trying to remember which episode that was.
They caught him, brought him back. All was good.
Yep.
Interesting.
I think that was the episode where you find out that's a big, huge fucking spoiler for the series. I'm not going to talk about it.
So I wonder if...
Really? You're going to spoil the end of The Professional, but you're not going to spoil the fucking Quantum Leap?
I think that was the episode where you find out that he's married.
Oh.
Because he can't remember that. And in fact, I think he wasn't married originally, and he made a change in the past that changed his future, and his wife, like, didn't leave him or something like that when he was working on the... Or his fiance didn't leave him at the altar or whatever.
Crazy.
Like, he changed her life so she was more forgiving of him being so, like, focused on this thing and she didn't feel abandoned or some shit like that. It's been, like, 15 years since I saw that episode, but...
All right.
I may be, like, sticking it together with a movie I saw.
All right.
That, like, had totally different characters and actors.
All right. All right.
I think Tim wants to
wrap
it up.
This one past the post, then we can wrap it up and go home.
I was like, Andy, we get it. You don't quite remember. Here's another reason why I don't quite remember.
Do you not quite remember?
I don't know. I don't know if I don't remember. And there's the problem.
Well, let's give a few more reasons why you may or may not remember. Maybe that will help you.
Let us explore why you might not remember.
I could be a time traveler who leapt back into this body, and now my brain's all Swiss cheesy.
Now, what kind of Swiss cheese? How long has it been aged?
I would say baby Swiss, you know, nice tight little holes.
Yeah, you love the nice tight little holes.
Yeah. That's why I like Leon the Professional.
Oh. Too soon.
No, too late. Now she's all grown up, and I don't like it anymore.
And having a baby, and it's all stretched out.
Mm. By the way, speaking of that, there is a line in a U2 song where Bono says that freedom has a scent like a newborn baby's head. That makes me think that freedom smells like blood and vagina.
He didn't say brand newborn, like fresh out of the oven born. He just said newborn. They're called newborns for like a couple months, aren't they?
Okay, well, you think of it one way and I'll think of it another.
Did either of you sniff your baby when it first came out?
No.
Sniffing was not on my first list of things to do.
If I ever have a kid, I'm going to sniff it to see if it smells like vagina.
All right.
I'll let you know.
Well, mine wouldn't have smelled like vagina. Mine would have smelled like...
Nor would have mine.
Gaping wound.
He smelled like gaping wound. So he didn't specify if it was a C-section or not. So maybe freedom smells like gaping wound.
Maybe it does. I'm certain there are places in the South where it does.
There you go.
All right, well, we fucked this episode of the guy in the corner.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'll ask him if he meant gaping wound or bloody vagina.
What were you saying, Tim?
I said, well, we fucked this episode and left it crying in the corner. Might as well. Alrighty.
Kind of like Superman would have done to Dr. Sam Beckett.
Just like that.
Just like it. Well, it was a week.
Happy anniversary, everybody.
Go see X-Men. It's good.
Say hi to your mom for us.
If it's in 3D, don't bother.
Ask your mom about Milton Berle's penis. Actually, I guess ask your grandma. We're all getting older.
Maybe your grandpa. Maybe he was gay. We don't know.
Maybe.
He did dress up in dresses a lot.
There you go.
And wrap it up.
Cut.
End scene.
Thanks for listening to this colossal waste of time we like to call the TanCast Podcast. Many props go out to DJ Technoid, who created and composed the official TanCast theme. If you like what you heard today, throw us a review up there at the iTunes Store. Give us maybe a 5-star review. If you really liked what you heard, go ahead and put a link in your Twitter or your Facebook. If you have any comments, feedback, or jokes for Tan Laughs, you can email those to us at fucktards@tancast.com, or you can email us individually at Tim, Andy, or Noah at tancast.com. Tancast.com is our official website where you can leave comments on this or any other episode, post comments on our blogs, and find links to the official TanCast Twitter page, the official TanCast Facebook page, and the official TanCast Cafe Press store. That's enough shameless plugs for this week. Thanks again for listening to TanCast. You're doing it.
TanCast.
We didn't do a Tan Laugh for this week.
Oh, we can't help but wonder, how big is Liam Neeson's cock?
Here is the first of my favorites of this week's How Big is Liam Neeson's Cock jokes. Liam Neeson's cock is so big that once a year, people glue carnations to it and run it in the Rose Parade. Liam Neeson's cock is so big that when he comes, nearby Jedi feel a great disturbance in the Force, as if millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror and then were suddenly silenced. Liam Neeson's cock is so big, he can fuck you tomorrow, yesterday. I can't even understand that, but I fucking love it. Liam Neeson's cock is so big, it was offered Charlie Sheen's role on 2.5 Men. It turned them down, so they went with the second biggest dick in Hollywood. Liam Neeson's cock is so big, his parents were forced to buy flood insurance when he first started having wet dreams. Liam Neeson's cock is so big, it once shot a man just to watch him die. Liam Neeson's cock is so big, after each erection, 2 solid rocket boosters fall gently back to Earth and recovered from the ocean. Liam Neeson's cock is so big, he shoots 12-gauge sperm. Liam Neeson's cock is so big, jokes about it can only be called gags. Liam Neeson's cock is so big that even Kirk Cameron can't explain it. Liam Neeson's cock is so big that when he pitches a tent, the Ringling Brothers move into his pants. Liam Neeson's cock is so big that when he comes, air travel over Iceland stops for a week. I almost didn't get that one out. Liam Neeson's cock is so big it has its own crayon color. I don't know, but I like it.
It's weird.
Liam Neeson's cock is so big that if it falls in the forest and no one is around, everybody fucking hears it. And lastly, Liam Neeson's cock is so big, a team of genetic scientists have been secretly splicing the DNA of Julia Roberts, Steven Tyler, and Mick Jagger in the hopes of one day creating a mouth big enough to wrap around it.